us, Linda. It would not be fair just to introduce them as missionaries to Finland that have come out of this church. That would certainly be true, but it certainly wouldn't tell the whole story for me. Glenda's family came to this church during some turbulent times. And the Sisko family gave this precious family a place to duck out of a very tough storm in their family's life. But that storm for them became a blessing to many of us because for me, the Sword family became, Sword is her maiden name, the Sword family became a very dear family to me. And Glenda and Shelley, her sister, and Philip, that is now in Finland with them, and her precious mother and father were very instrumental in my life. Sharing a lot of life, ministry, successes and disappointments. Brother Sword taught me the value of just continuing to pursue and to continue to just keep getting back up. He also taught me the value of when you have a condemned building that's about to be torn down and there's a fully developed walnut tree behind the property, you can really hone your throwing skills with breaking windows out of a condemned house with nice ripe walnuts. And so we did as much damage as we could do to the old house that we ended up buying on 2106 to tear it down to have some space next to us there. But this is a dear family to me. And even Glenda and I going through similar hurts and disappointments separately, but going through those at the same time. Little time goes on and she finds some cat from Arkansas. And so I forget now, through me going to Bible school, and you were in Arkansas for a while, were you not? And then they both ended up here. And so then Mark becomes one of my dearest friends. Brother Alvin, sorry. And a little bit of hunting and prayer and just being friends. There's a term that I'm hearing a lot now, and you see it posted on social media. It's a term called church hurt. It's real. But so is church love. And I don't hear enough about church love, so you're going to hear it from me. There's family hurt, but you still have family. There's work hurt, but you still show up for work. There's neighborhood hurt, but you still have neighbors. And so I believe it'd be the enemy's business to allow people that experience some hurt in a church to just say, I'm not doing that ever again. That's just a trick of the enemy. I'll remind you, it is real. It is real. But it's not worth breaking away from some of the greatest people in your life that God has brought into your life. And so it would be unfair to me to just to introduce Brother and Sister Alfin as missionaries to Finland that have come out of this church without letting you know how dear they are to me and my family and to the dearest friends that we have. And we're blessed to call them our friends, and we were blessed to be able to spend some time with them in Europe. And so I want them to come and I want them to minister. I love you guys dearly. Thank you for coming. They came all the way from Finland just for this service. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They've got grandchildren. They've got kids and grandchildren. They didn't come just for the service. But while they're here, I thought we'd snag them. So make them feel welcome again. God bless you.
So we talked about this a little bit, and I decided, because I can, that I'm going to let my wife go first.
It's good to be home. And I say home because this was home starting in 1997. A lot of you don't know us, but there are a good number of you that do. So it's good to see you. And I'm going to leave the missions part of this to him, because we're supposed to be thankful today. So I want to first say that I'm thankful for salvation. Because without salvation from an eternally loving God, I would be on my way to hell. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof, there is no death." I can't imagine living without the deep peace of God covering my life. If you don't have the deep peace of God, it's available. And there's nothing like it. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So when we consistently read our Bible, its principles and its concepts become ingrained within us, in our spirit, and it enables us to be more like Jesus. I'm thankful I can hear God's voice clearly, and that it's like a free flow in my mind. Job 37:2 says, "Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth." If you don't know how to hear the voice of God, you need to figure it out. Because without it, you're like a ship without a rudder or a sailboat without a sail. You don't have clear direction in your life without his word and without his voice. Psalm 29:4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." So without his direction, we couldn't possibly do what we do overseas. Because in our humanity, we could never succeed. We would definitely fail. Without hearing him speak, I could have never grown into the person I am today and the kingdom role that I fill. Bill knows the old Glenda. I could have never done this but for God's direction. And I'm thankful for the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the importance of every part of the body and how we all function together. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." So you have a special role in the kingdom, and so do I. And that role will bring strength one to another. So it's a blessing to be part of God's family. And if you're here for the first time today and you're like, "I'm not part of God's family," well, stick around and they will help you figure it out. It is wonderful to be here today. It's good to be. I was friends with him before I ever met him. And we had a few birthdays together. Few birthday parties. We had like five of us that had birthdays the same week, back to back to back. And I can remember the week that I moved to Arkansas in April of 1989, we had our last birthday party together with those friends and memories. I hope that when you get to our age, should the Lord tarry, that you can look back in your life and say, "That friend is still here. that friend is still here. I still have Bobby Joe. I still have your pastor. I still have Sister Jane, Mama Cisco, Mama Bullock. There are people, if you dig in and build those relationships, whether you see somebody every day, every month, every year, it won't matter, because the Lord connects you together. And whether you realize it or not, you need this in your life. It'll give you something to be thankful for. It's good to be with you today.
So, I want to first of all say I'm thankful for you. Thankful for the Church Triumphant. It always feels like you're coming home when you come here, because this is home. In fact, I remember pulling wires in this building while it was being built. So I have very deep roots here. I'm thankful. I'm going to use a different word. I'm going to say I'm grateful for the friendships that I have here. I'm not going to name you all, because I'll miss a name if I do. But I'm grateful for Bishop Cisco. He saw a guy who had nothing. I was wrecked. I was messed up. And he saw something in me. And alongside Bishop Cisco came your pastor, became my best friend, my prayer partner. We had a lot of conversations, a lot of talks, a lot of good times together. Unfortunately, we didn't shoot much deer together, but we tried. Thankful. You don't realize, many of you are barely even know us, but there would not be a place in Finland today if it were not for TCT. There wouldn't be. I'm grateful for the many times Mom Cisco fixed us dinner and we came over and had time together. So many things. Brother and Sister Bullock, the good times we had at their house. Remember my good friend, my name just went, oh, my lands. See, this is the reason I wasn't going to say anything. Tim ran sound with me for many years, put up with my stubbornness, and wound up being better than I was. So many things I'm grateful for. Grateful. I'm grateful that this church got behind Bishop Cisco and saw the vision that God gave us and encouraged us and allowed us to grow beyond Columbus, Ohio, and go to a foreign country. I'm so grateful for you. I really don't have the words to say it, but I am. So let me give you an idea of some of the things that you have accomplished. Last October in our builder room, there were 56 people who attended. Now remember what your pastor said. When we landed in 2010, it was just my family. And now there's 56 people representing 6 different cities in Finland. I'm grateful for the fact that I was able to see most of the 21 people who were filled with God's wonderful spirit last year in Finland. I was able to witness most of them. Yeah. But Brother Pelham, one thing I'm even more grateful for than that is this year was different, because I only prayed for half of them. Somebody else prayed for the others. You see, that's growth. God is working there. Let me tell you about a young lady.
There was a young lady who came to Finland right before COVID. Very quiet, very shy. She had been in various apostolic churches around the world. She moved and worked and came to Finland, and she was going to stay in Finland. COVID hits. We're still doing services online. And she has a roommate she had been witnessing to for 5 years. 5 years. And as COVID begins to release, we're still having her first online, and her roommate's captive. A captive audience there for one of our services. So the first service we have back, she comes. And the second service, she receives the Holy Ghost. This lady has led to four or five people coming in because of her testimony. You see, she used to drink herself to sleep every night. And now she has total freedom, and she's actually one of our leaders in our church. One of the ladies that she brought in moved to a town called Vaasa. She was all alone. She had a job up there. She was all alone. And for a long time, we traveled back and forth to Vaasa on a monthly basis just to spend time with her. And she said, "I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand why I'm here. I'm all alone. But I feel like God wants me to be here, but I don't understand." Well, last March, am I right? Yes, this year. This March, we received a message from a young man in the same city she lived in, saying, "Do you baptize in Jesus' name? Because I need to be baptized." I said, "Absolutely." I said, "When do you want it to happen?" He said, "How soon can you do it?" I said, "Well, if you get on a train," they're talking 5 hours travel here, okay. "You get on a train, I'll baptize you tomorrow." I said, or "You can wait next week. I'll be coming to Vaasa." He waits, and we baptize him in a hotel bathroom tub because that's all we had available. He's excited. I'm teaching him a Bible study. I love Bible studies. You know who taught me how to teach Bible studies? Your pastor. He's the one that put the fire under me on Bible studies. But I was teaching him Bible study. And I get another phone call in a couple weeks. Another young man from Vaasa says, "I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. How soon can you do it?" I said, "Well, get on the train. I'll do it tomorrow." He said, "Okay, I'll be there." 5-hour train trip to Helsinki. He's with me about 3 hours. I baptize him, and he jumps on the train and heads home that day. Now, that's how important baptism should be to people. Well, these two young men, they were childhood friends, and I mean childhood friends. And they were in their 20s now. And they were worshiping. They were coming to our services. I was teaching them Bible studies online. Now, I won't get into that, but these Bible studies are marathons typically. So, and Sister Bobby Jo can witness, since we've been in our house, and I've been teaching them online while we're there. But we're having a service. We're meeting on services once a month, and they're looking. Yemi's prayed for the Holy Ghost several times but hadn't received it. Etu, this is his first service, I believe, right, to come. My wife was sick. She wasn't able to be there. And so I take Philip with me, Brother Sword, and we go up there. Now, we don't have beautiful music when it's just Phil and I. Okay, we didn't do any singing that day, but we prayed and we shared the word with them, and they both wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. And as we're praying with them, I'm praying with one of them, the first guy that came in, and Philip's praying with the other guy. And I notice, well, the guy I'm praying with, he's having a little bit of struggle because he's a typical Finnish guy, okay, very stoic, not very emotional, just by the book. The other guy's a little bit more emotional, so I notice that he's about to receive the Holy Ghost, so I step over and I start praying with him, and immediately he begins speaking in tongues. Well, after he's spoken in tongues for a few minutes, dies down, we begin to talk. I start talking to him, said, explaining what happened to him and confirming with him that he really did speak in tongues and that he received the Holy Ghost. And his friend, the one that brought him in, is sitting over there. He's listening to the conversation. And he says, he looks at him and says, "You received the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Yeah, I received the Holy Ghost." "Really? Yeah. That does it. I'm not leaving until I receive the Holy Ghost." And just a few minutes, he had been filled with the Holy Ghost as well. These two men are machines. I've already baptized three of their friends. They're working on more. And I'm looking forward to get back up to Vaza to see them filled with God's wonderful Spirit. Now again, I am grateful for TCT, because were it not for you, this would not be happening. Thank you.